The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Welcome to Saturday Draft Live. My name is David Hockney, and this will be the show before Christmas. We're all through the house, nothing stirring, not even a mouse. But there is something stirring in the form of my co-host, Jack Graham. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yep, grand. You all set for the holiday season?
I am all set, ready to go. All presents wrapped up, all cards written. I am ready to start drinking and eat plenty of food.
What do you normally drink, just out of curiosity?
About the house and that, I prefer just having a cider. But then when I'm like out, like in town or whatnot, I'll maybe start off with a cider, then move to vodka.
Sounds like a plan. Well, we did discuss Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel the last time we were on hosting duties this time around. So just before we jump into the scores, here's our question of the week for our listeners. What do you like to drink first on Christmas Day? So let us know in our community page. Let us know on our socials. At Suplex Retweet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and get involved in the discussion. Follow all our updates on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, and all good Android podcasting sites. But Jack, we're not here to discuss Christmas drinks. We're here to discuss scoring.
Oh, yes.
Yep. And this week, we have a tie for second place. So on 7 points this week, it is the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, Finn Balor and Damian Priest of the Judgment Day, with a successful defense over the Creed Brothers. And I think we're sort of sounding like a broken record when it comes to Judgment Day and stuff. I think they've really sort of got that rhythm going now when it comes to being consistent scorers throughout all season long.
I take the offense that they kind of built up to be, they were a bit worried about what was going to happen on the show, and then they managed to get it. But as you were saying, since brought arguably about from the beginning of summer, Judgment Day has been like an unstoppable force in this draft, and it doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon. So I think for anyone at any point, if they can get any piece of Judgment Day, absolutely take it. As you can see, just about a normal week, myself and Ryan have Finn Balor and Damian Priest have managed to get 7 points of a title defense and appearances backstage. So they're essential to a drafting strategy, I think, Judgment Day now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like all of them, well, the main four, with the exception of JD McDonagh, were picked in round one this season. Rhea Ripley, then Priest, then Dom, and then Balor. You selected him, I think it was 11th overall.
Something like that. I was down near the bottom of the drafting order.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other person that took priority over Judgment Day picks was Cody Rhodes, and that he was picked second overall. But that's understandable, given that it is Royal Rumble season and he is one of the favourites to go back-to-back this year. But our top scorer for this week, and to be honest, a few weeks ago, if you said to me he would be the top scorer for this week again, I wouldn't have believed you. But he's only gone and done it again. The NXT North American champion, Dragon Lee, with 8 points this week, Jack, following a successful title defense on SmackDown against Pete Dunne. Dragon Lee's surge in points is really come out of nowhere almost, having defeated Dirty Dom at NXT Deadline, and he's had multiple title defenses since then. And Dragon Lee's really starting to make waves in this draft, points-wise.
Yeah, I was leaning back at here that picked him in the fifth round. He's second overall for the season, Dragon Lee. Obviously, he wouldn't have been in this position if Wesley didn't do his back in or whatever's happening with Wesley. I'm not sure, but obviously won the title. He's defended it two or three times since then. Obviously, last night defended it against Butch. North American Championship seems to be a bit of a workhorse title as of late, and they're putting a lot of stock in Dragon Lee, especially on SmackDown, and obviously that's like a show of faith putting the title on him. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get another two or so defenses before the season ends. I think Dragon Lee could absolutely help propel Lee into that top conversation of who's going to win this season.
Yeah, definitely. And he also has the advantage of being able to appear across multiple shows. You know, he can appear on NXT. And it's hard to say what his standing is, but it seems like he's been also called up to SmackDown as well, given his feud with Santos Escobar. So appearing over multiple shows with multiple title defenses, he's got a chance to possibly be the top scorer of this season.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. Obviously, when you look at the kind of top two, top scorers of the season. If you look at it, 1, 2, 3, the top four. Trick Williams is first, 31 points. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't really expect it. Dragon Lee, second, 24 points. You wouldn't really expect it. Orange Cassidy, third. Kind of expect it now. Obviously, whatever happened with him losing the title and then getting it back to the drama of his injury couldn't have been foreseen. So it's still amazing to get that amount of points. And Ilya Dragunov, fourth. There's a lot of NXT in there. I know the pay-per-view has just happened, but besides that, there's a lot of picks that are arguably surprising everyone in the draft for the amount of points they're getting.
Mm. Yeah, NXT's been massively slept on this season so far. I don't think many people took into account, you know, there was NXT Deadline, there'd be more programming for NXT going forward. I think everybody's focus was on the Royal Rumble, but you know, you can't overlook NXT these days, because NXT at the minute, I mean, it was the least selected brand across all the shows. Only a total of 65 points accumulated out of 208 overall. But from the standings, it looks like, you know, we've got a whole bunch of NXT talent literally dominating the top 10 of the season so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised if that continues for a bit until at least after. Probably until the Royal Rumble, actually, because we've got an AEW pay-per-view next week, I think, on the 30th.
Yeah, World's End, yeah.
Yeah, so about that, you might see some scores rise then, but I think up until the Royal Rumble, I think that top half might not change as much. Maybe some Judgment Day stuff might get in there. But yeah, it's very interesting. It's weird for us to talk about top half NXT domination of the scores,
mm-hmm. particularly in a Royal Rumble season as well.
Yeah,
we'll get into individual scoring a bit later on, but for now we'll look at the overall standings. So still at the bottom, but it is a Christmas miracle because he's finally broken into double digits. It's Steven Wilson and the Wheel of Lower Midcard Drafting on 11 points, a good bit ahead of him, 8 points. We have Ross McLeod with Imperium Leather. Then we have a mighty fall from grace in the form of Team Goat from the Goat David Campbell, 29 points. Pretty poor for Goat and Ross this week, only scoring 5 points each. So, yeah, I think their lower team standing is kind of justified for this week. And then 3 points ahead of Goat, we have our Listeners League winner, Johnny Adam, with Dark Side of the Onion Ring on 32. 1 point ahead of him, we have the Dutch Destroyer, Tom Brock, with Road Back to the Eredivisie, for God's sake. I'm terrible with pronunciations these last few weeks. 33 points for his team. And then 5 points ahead on 38 points. It's yourself, Jack. I would do anything to draft, but I won't do that. Then we have 4 points ahead of you. We have tie for seventh place. It's Chris Anthony Lopez with the Bling Generals and Gary Carahan with Team Viscera on 42 points each. And then we have our People's Champion, Roll to Draft, Push 2.0, Grant McRobbie on 47 points. A decent scoring week for him, 16 points all round. He's been firmly in the middle of the table, keeping that consistent dice roll team up and about the top tier. Fifth place is myself, breaking the 50-point barrier with the West End Country Club, despite a pretty low-scoring week this week, still breaking that 50-point barrier. Fourth place, our Listen Lose League Cup winner, or runner-up, Lee McAteer, subscribe on demand progress plus cheap plug, 54 points. Third place, Scott McLeod, drafting in easy with 55 points. Second place, 1 point ahead of him, Stacey Smith with Team Bella, 56 points. Pretty poor scoring week for her, but still in the top two. Can't be arguing with that. And then top of the league, once again, we have Ryan Dalgleish, dancing naked to murder on the dance floor with 65 points overall. So a 9-point gap between first and second at the minute. But let's not take away from the fact that we had a three-way tie for the top scorers of this week. So, Jack, it was yourself, Ryan, and Scott all scoring 19 points this week. So a very, very good week for the three of you. Just, and then trailing behind you, we have Chris Anthony Lopez scoring 18 points this week. So a very, very good week of scoring all round.
Yeah, obviously the me and Ryan both having Judgment Day helped quite a bit there, but Scott having Orange Cassidy on a title defence last night as well, appearing on Dynamite, that helps propel him up that bit too, and also having Cody Rhodes as well. So it's been a good week for us three, especially in my fight against Ross McLeod for my place in Saturday Draft Live. A great week for me just to kind of widen that gap a bit. So yeah, absolutely. Very happy.
Mm-hmm. And Rampage, I think, is starting to become the Orange Cassidy show, because not only did he defend the International Championship this week, he defended it last week as well. So who knows, that could be a running trend going forward.
Not bad at all. Scott be very happy with that and that kind of top fight the table there.
Mm-hmm. For this next bit, Jack, unfortunately, you know, we're used to getting nice presents this year because we've been good boys, you know, presenting the scores week in and week out. But now we have to go to the stockings filled with coal, known as the Listeners League. So if you wouldn't mind taking the charge on this, that would be great.
Aye, of course. That's absolutely fine. For we usually just kind of go for the top five. Elliot Cantor with CM Puppies on 61 points. David Dundoyan with the big meaty men slapping meat on 62 points. Andy Springer, I said maybe. I actually, Dave, just a wee side note there. I went to see Noel Gallagher and the High Flying Buds on Wednesday night. Absolutely fantastic. They were great, especially all of the racing stuff, so that was great. I appreciate that. Great, great gig. Andy's in 67 points there. But then another Andy, the Andy Mitchell from our podcast, has climbed up to 72 points overall in second place. The cream rises to the top, and it certainly looks like it, because Andy was the highest scoring player of the week in the Listeners League after being relegated last season with 31 points. Unfortunately, man, I can't get filtered in onto his team, because I do believe that Andy has also changed his captain for the week as well. Just like in a conversation that we were having earlier in the show, Dave, Andy Mitchell has changed his captain to Dragon Lee in the hope that he gets more title appearances. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Mm-hmm. And Lachlan Hyatt, also still our first place in the league with Kilmarnock Kiss on 75 points. Still a fairly decent week of 16 points for him, but when Andy Mitchell's got 31, that's huge gap there. That's shut down quite a bit, and Andy Mitchell must be very, very, very happy.
Yeah, definitely. And let's not take away the fact that another former Contributors League competitor, Ryan Gallagher, he's starting to make his way up the table as well. He's currently 56 points after scoring 22 this week as well. So that's the joint fourth highest scorer this week in the Listeners League. So Team Shaggers is starting to make waves as well, and very, very close to the top, breaking the top five as well.
He's getting there. He's absolutely getting there. Unfortunately, we seem to be having issues with our Listeners League Cup, so we can't go into the scoring there. But we'll keep you updated as much as we can with the scores of how the Listeners League Cup is going once that is sorted out. But that is the Listeners League for today, Dave.
Yep. Thank you for that, Jack. I'm going to spend this last few minutes, this last section of the show, we want to talk about the top five newcomers that have occurred this season. So for any of you that don't know, the top five newcomers are those drafted superstars that weren't selected last season, but they have been selected this season, whether as a solo competitor or as a tag team. and we'll see how they've performed out with the last season, see how they've done so far. So, Jack, as it stands, we have a tie for fourth place in top five newcomers. We have Swerve Strickland, picked by Chris Anthony Lopez, and we have DIY, selected by myself, on 10 points apiece. Third place, we have the returning Randy Orton on 14 points, also picked by myself. Second place, Grant McRobbie's pick of Jay White is on 20 points. But then, as previously discussed, you know, the big scorer for the last couple of weeks, currently on 24 points and second overall in the season, it's Dragon Lee with 24 points, selected by Lee McAteer. And just to put into a bit of extra context, in the Listeners League, Dragon Lee, the number one newcomer for this season, has only been selected three times by the Listeners League competitors. So Lachlan Hyatt, Andy Mitchell, and Bertie Wanless were the only ones who have picked him. And they're currently in the top six of the Listeners League at the minute. So I think it's safe to say, you know, I think Dragon Lee's been a driving factor of, you know, a lot of teams' performances this season.
Yeah, it's just that I think it was probably more that everyone knew that, let me see, was probably going to drop the title at the NXT deadline. And obviously the news coming in about Wesley ended up being Dragon Lee, and I think folk just kind of capitalised on that. Obviously Lee McAteer did as well, getting him solo in the drafted round as well, and getting 24 points so far for the season. Doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon. Just like, what? For that season, what an absolute steal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because he was a fifth-round pick as well. I mean, when was the last time you see a fifth-round pick scoring that highly?
Probably any time Orange Cassidy's been drafted.
Probably, yeah. Then again, I did pick Rey Mysterio in round six last season. He was a pretty big scorer.
Yeah, true.
But let's talk about Randy Orton for a minute as well. Like, you know, Randy Orton's been out for the best part of 18 months. He returned to War Games to give Team Cody the win. It is going to be a relatively short season, all things considered. But I suppose in the same way, you know, you have CM Punk on Raw, who probably made the biggest shockwave in terms of returns that night. But then you've got Randy Orton, who's also signed to SmackDown. Do you think Randy Orton's in this position now where he's going to be arguably the biggest babyface challenger to Roman Reigns in what is going to be a relatively short season?
I don't know. Well, obviously, in a couple of weeks, we've got the triple threat to see who faces Roman at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, New Year's Revolution.
I reckon somehow that will end the no contest and it'll be a fatal four-way at the Royal Rumble. So him and LA Knight obviously will be tied in that respect, but just in terms of how Randy Orton has done in the season so far, getting 14 points overall, that's obviously with the captaincy on him, I think.
I applied the captaincy to him last week, so he's only started getting captaincy points this week.
So he's 15th overall for the season. I think you can be fairly happy because it seems he's going to be a big prominent fixture in SmackDown. Even in the weeks that Roman won't be there, Randy Orton will probably be your guy up until Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think best case scenario would be if it does turn into a fatal four-way, maybe Orton isn't the one to eat the pin, and then that can avoid any captaincy point losses on pay-per-view. So I think, yeah, a multi-person match would certainly help out for sure. But any of the other three picks stick out to you, Jack? We've got Jay White, we have Swerve Strickland, and we have DIY, who started off the season strong with a 2 out of 3 falls victory over Imperium, and I think that's what's really brought them onto the board. So is there any of those that really stand out to you at all?
Yeah, Jay White, and also the Continental Classic and AEW, mm-hmm, with what's going on. I can't remember who's got Jay White. Grant does.
Grant does, yeah.
Obviously Grant's got Jay White, picked him third overall, 20 points, 4th overall in the ranking, and a triple threat match on Wednesday to see who wins their group, so to speak, of the Continental Classic. And Jay White seems to be a very, very good, there's a very, very good chance of winning that match. So I think so far, for the amount of points that Jay White's been able to get, and I think the captaincy applied in Jay White as well for Grant, I think that's just a standout of how strong the Continental Classic has been in this opening weeks of this season, which has also helped propel Grant into a really good spot at the table in that kind of top half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Swerve Strickland's arguably in the same position as well. You know, he's been making waves since his two victories over Hangman Page and his ongoing performance in the Continental Classic as well, which I do think was a big driving factor in the selection process when it comes to people making AEW selections. We're thinking, right, who's going to be competing in the Continental Classic? Because they're going to appear, they're going to have matches, and they might win a few over the coming weeks. So I think it was pretty smart, you know, picking folk from the Continental Classics. And I think Grant's probably made the best pick of the lot, for sure. But Swerve Strickland, though, let's not take anything away from him. I think Chris Anthony Lopez was smart to pick a guy, you know, who's had a lot of momentum lately. And although it's not entirely reflected in the points, I think Swerve's got a lot of big things coming for him.
Well, also, Chris has John Moxley as well on 9 points, mm-hmm. who's in that Cornell Classic. But that's part of the triple threat match with Jay White to see who wins the league on Wednesday, I think it is. So he'll be hoping to get some good points there, but it's out of Chris's team. When you just take in isolation, Swerve and John Moxley, Chris has 42 points overall, and them two alone have got 19. So nearly half the points has been accumulated by the A2 in this Cornetto Classic. In a short season, it's certainly helped dividends for Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we've proven, you know, the Continental Classic was massive draw there. The returning Randy Orton is obviously drawing in the star power. And then you've obviously got Dragon Lee, who's going to be the fighting NXT North American champion and will rack up defenses, much like Orange Cassidy has with the International Championship. So definitely a good mix of who's who in terms of the top five newcomers for this season. But Jack, I won't keep you too much longer. In case you've got any Christmas cider to prepare for or any dinner, last minute shopping requirements that you need. So that's going to do it for us here on Saturday Draft Live. We plugged all our socials at the start, so be sure to go back and listen to the start to pick all those up. But I guess all that remains for me to say is to all our listeners and to all our team members that have worked hard over this year to produce great content, we wish you all a happy holiday season, and we wish you a very merry new year, you filthy animals. Thank you, Jack, for filling in this episode.
No, thanks for having me. Obviously, everyone have a good festive period. We won't be in the Saturday Draft Live headquarters for the next couple of weeks. We'll be enjoying our downtime, enjoying Christmas. We'll be back in the new year, and I hope you all have a great time as well.
So all that remains to say is thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Yippee-ki-yay!
Sports Social Podcast Network.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.